Welcome back to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now is Dr. Ranjit Kudali. He is a USD chemistry professor, and he joins us from his office in Vermilion. Dr. K is a public relations chair of the Sioux Valley section of the American Chemical Society, and he's going to provide us on innovation about once a month. He's going to come on and give us the latest chemistry news. So, Dr. K, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Kara, for giving me an opportunity to discuss some latest research, cutting-edge research from chemistry.
Cutting-edge chemistry research, and we're going to focus today on renewable
fuels.
Energy,
absolutely.
Renewable fuels.
Absolutely.
And we're talking water as energy.
Well, we're going to now, so we have an energy challenge. We are consuming more and more energy in the world with improvements in standard of living and growth in population. Our energy demand is expected to more than double by 2050 and more than triple by the end of the century. So the question arises as to what sources of energy can we tap into to power our planets? And so we have choices. We can rely on fossil fuels, coal, oil, natural gas, but they are not finite, which means we need to use alternate or renewable sources of energy so that we can have a healthy Earth and a healthy planet. And so one of the choices is to use sunlight and use that for converting the sun's energy directly into fuel.
Okay. And how do we do that?
Well, so we have three choices in solar energy conversion. So the most popular is photovoltaics or using those solar panels and trying to power our homes, residential buildings, industrial buildings, etc. And that is a fairly mature technology. We have photovoltaic panels or solar farms that can power small buildings or even large buildings. And so that is a mature technology. The other option is to convert the sun's energy into thermal to generate heat and use that heat to produce electricity. And the third option, which is still in a laboratory scale but has not yet been commercially realizable, is solar fuels. So here we are trying to mimic nature, and we know that green plants, for example, they can fix sun's energy and produce energy-rich fuels. So that is natural photosynthesis, wherein carbon dioxide that we expire is taken up by plants. It reacts with water in the presence of these green pigments called chlorophyll in the leaves via the action of sunlight to produce carbohydrates or energy. So what scientists are trying to do is to mimic natural photosynthesis, and so this field is known as artificial photosynthesis of solar fuels. So many of us are interested in trying to convert the sun's energy directly into liquid-rich fuels. It could be methanol, it could be ethanol, that we could use it as a raw starting chemical material to make other energy-rich molecules.
How do you do that with just using the sun?
So we would require the sun, and we would require a material called a catalyst. Usually it is in the powdered form, or it is a powdered material that is deposited on an electrode. So this material is called a photocatalyst because it gets activated in the presence of light. So you need photons or light, and it's called a catalyst because it enhances or increases the rate of producing these fuels. So this whole technology is either called photocatalytic technology or photoelectrochemical technology. So by using principles of photoelectrochemistry or photocatalysis, scientists and engineers are interested in harnessing the power of sun and converting a very abundant, inexpensive raw material into an energy-rich fuel.
Now, scientists are also looking at taking hydrogen from water as a fuel as well.
Yes. So we have many choices. So hydrogen is a very good energy carrier. Unfortunately, we don't have hydrogen existing in nature on Earth, so it has to be produced by some ways and means. And people are transitioning into a hydrogen-based economy. It's going to be much cleaner than our current fossil-based fuel economy because it's going to be carbon neutral. So the question comes, how do we generate hydrogen in a clean and renewable manner? Currently, we are using a so-called process called steam reforming, but the source is natural gas or methane, and we are generating hydrogen. So ideally, we can produce hydrogen in a renewable manner if our source of production of hydrogen is also abundant, renewable, and plentiful. And so people are trying to use water, which is fairly abundant, renewable, sustainable source, and use a photocatalyst or a photoelectrochemical reactor and produce hydrogen and oxygen, and that hydrogen that is produced will be very pure and can be used as an energy carrier or as a fuel to produce other energy-rich chemicals. So that's how we have coined this term as solar fuel, fuel from the sun, and hence solar fuels.
Okay, but and they have discovered a way, a step that is 100% efficient?
Absolutely. So what happened is this whole field evolved in 1972 from Japan. So Japanese scientists discovered that they could use some very common materials. One of them, the material they used is titanium dioxide. And when they used that material and they illuminated with UV light, they could produce both hydrogen and oxygen. And so this led to the entire field of photoelectrochemistry and eventually photocatalysis. However, the efficiencies were very, very low, extremely low, 0.1, 0.5, 0.1, 1%, etc. So until now, we were unable to realize very high efficiencies, even in the laboratory scale. But a recent study that was published by the American Chemical Society indicates that you can convert 100% of the incident light from sun into hydrogen. And that is a very exciting prospect because if we can scale this technology, then we may be able to produce hydrogen from a very in an inexpensive manner.
Dr. Kudali, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today, and I look forward to having you as a regular guest on Innovation.
Oh, thank you very much, Kara, and I look forward to our conversation next time around.
Okay. Dr. Ranjit Kudali is a USD chemistry professor and also public relations chair of the Sioux Valley section of the American Chemical Society. He'll be a regular guest, a monthly guest on Innovation to talk about what's happening in chemistry around the country.